on Thursday, but let's get to the heart of matters. So we want to talk about today the mitzvahs asay. If there's a mitzvah asay, what is the mitzvah asay of shechita, and is it counted, etc. Okay, so before I start with that, two quick comments. So first of all, on the question whether or not we count the assay of shechita in kudshin for the Rambam. So you mentioned that the Rambam does not count it until it's maisa karbonos, so with regard to regular kudshin. But I mentioned that that he does formulate such a mitzvah, lishchot ha-pesach bizmano, lishchot pesach sheni, both in the Midin HaKotzer and in the Koteret, the Hilchos Korban Pesach, the Rambam has this mitzvah of shechita. But Asher pointed out to me that in the Kapach edition, that he translates in Sefer Mitzvos the first one, Lishchot HaPesach, Lahakriv or Lasos? Lahakriv. And I see on the side here also in the Frankel edition, he also has Bishon Benutach HaAravi, Pasav Lashon HaKrava. But that should just be noted. Again, that's written in Arabic, and that's very fascinating. But, you know, with the Rambam himself, the Koteret, and in the Koteret in the Halachas itself, and of course in Halach Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh, Lishko Tapesach, that's Parak Aleph from Halach Aleph, the Rambam does use the expression of Shechita. Moreover, and he points it out as well, and that is that Mitzvah Saseh Nun Zayin, even in the Arabic, and even in the Kapach translation, I assume, right? That he has Lishko regarding Pesach Sheni. So, before Pesach last year, we talked a lot about Pesach Sheni, and, you know, what it highlights about Pesach Rishon, but I can't for the life of me think why Pesach Rishon would be Akrava and Pesach Sheni would be Shechita, given that it would be exact. I think we did show, or tried to show, that at that time, that, for example, the Rambam's view regarding the relationship to Achilas Matzah Umorar is different, among other things. We tried to show that Pesach Sheni, you know, gets quoted in the context of Pesach Rishon, which is strange, and that in some respects Pesach Sheni, you know, is more demanding in terms of the, you know, the props of Matzah, you know, more, call it overcompensation or whatever you want to call it. But why there would be a shechita for Korban Pesach Sheni and not for Korban Pesach Rishon, I'm not saying that, you know, there's no, you know, conceivable explanation, but it just nothing that fits into any of those patterns of what makes, unless, again, you want to say that, you know, Pesach Sheni is, you know, a purer kind of Korban because, you know, it's absent the, you know, the Yom. Yeah. Anyways, I don't see it. Either way, the preponderance, I think it's curious and interesting, if the Rambam in Arabic kind of strayed from using the expression of Shechita to Korban Pesach, even though in Hilchos Korban Pesach itself, in the Koteret and Halach Aleph, and even in the Arabic, you know, Pesach Sheni, he's stuck with Shechita, maybe it just shows that he, you know, like his mindset when it comes to, you know, Shechita is that it's typically not a mitzvah. But either way, the overwhelming preponderance of evidence is that when it comes to Korban Pesach, that there really is a mitzvah of Shechita, and I think for the reasons that we discussed. Also, I may have I'm not sure, just kind of in the middle of the night a couple of days ago, it hit me. When I quoted the Sefer, and the talk, I said mentioned there's a Sefer that talks about this question about Shechita and Shlichos. I may have said Makor Baruch. Did I say Makor Baruch?
Yeah.
So that's wrong. I guess it hit me later. It's Minchas Baruch. Okay? It's the Tshuvas of Minchas Baruch. He was a Talmud of Baruch Krinker of Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. The Makor Baruch is a Sefer, like an autobiographical work by the Torah Tmima, you know, Baruch. There was something gnawing away at me when I said that, but it's the Minchas Baruch, not the Makor. Okay. Beyond that, just to mention very quickly, Binyamin brought to my attention. Now, I was focusing on the Lefikach in the Rambam and the relationship. We're going to speak more about this, and I want to go through the Nasei Kalim. The relationship between Shechita applying to all, to Behema, to Chaya, to Ov, etc., and the fact that there is a Bracha. I was suggesting that, this too is part of the Rambam's presentation, and consistent with his presentation, that Shechita is not merely, because that's what we're going to discuss today, not merely a technical requirement, an Isur Aseh, but we'll explain all these terms in a couple of minutes. Stama Matir, if I may say, as opposed to an unusual kind of a Matir or more. And this is all what he's trying to present. And one of the things he's saying is that, that the Bracha, reflects that. Or maybe there would have been a different requirement for Ophos and Chaios and Behemos if it was just more of a technical thing, but the fact that it is some sort of a mitzvah or some sort of a kiyum or some sort of a perspective, I'll explain in a minute what I mean by that. That is the reason why it's chad, and that's the reason why there's a bracha. And then he goes on also to mention in the same piece that you should know that the bracha is not ma'akev, and I was making a fuss about that as well. I was suggesting that the Rambam typically does not mention that brachos are not ma'akev. He does now and then. Again, those who were here, we learned kiddushin. Is anybody here who from the days when we learned Ksuvos? Abraham? Okay. So both may remember that the Rambam does when it comes to chuppah. The Rambam also mentions that the bracha is not ma'akev. But Lashitasi, at least, I also thought that was unusual, and tried to explain that the role of Birchas Nisuin is very unusual. Maybe Magdir the Chuppah in a way, as opposed to simply being a typical Birchas HaMitzvah. It may not even be a Birchas HaMitzvah at all. That's a debate between the Ran, and the Beis Yosef. It also affects, how those brachos maybe should properly be recited. But anyways, so that's an example, another exception, but one which proves the rule. The Rambam typically does not tell you that the Birchas HaMitzvah is not ma'akev. Anyway, so both of those points, the beginning of Halacha Beis, the lead up to the Lefikach, any Lefikach in the Rambam, in my opinion, is significant, and the connection, the prominent presentation of Birchas HaMitzvah, and then telling you that it's not ma'akev. Those are both elements, together with the way that he formulates the mitzvah of Shechita, which I'll get back to. He repeats again, not excessively, but he emphasizes strongly, that you can't eat without the Shechita, like he mentions it twice. And the way that he mentions it, both in the Koteret and in Sefer Mitzvahs, and especially in Yana Chazaka. So I was saying about all of those things, and I'm going to elaborate about what all this is in a minute, that the Rambam's view is that Shechita is a mitzvah aseh, and that it is some sort of a kiyu, meaning it's something that has to do with a lot of the things that we have been speaking about. However, just to make it clear, if you have to read the Nos HaKalim, but for example, Binyamin brought to my attention that you could read, and this is, I think, the way the Kesem Mishnah actually does read, right? You could read the Rambam as saying, not that, we don't deviate in the process of Shechita, and therefore it's the kind of mitzvah that requires a bracha, but that all the Rambam really, really meant to say, this is how the Kesem Mishnah reads it, the Lechem Mishnah reads it my way. The way the Kesef Mishnah reads it, and this is what Binyamin was suggesting, the Hilchos Shechita Bekula Nachasi Lefika Kashoke Behema Okaya Oth Devarik Tila Sherkin Shana B'Mitzos B'Tzivanu Ala Shechita. Not that the Rambam is emphasizing the fact that you make a bracha and a bracha mitzvah that, but that the bracha is Ala Shechita, not all Shechita Sa'ov or all Shechita Behema or all Shechita Chaya, right? Because it's all Chav. And that's how the Kesef Mishnah actually does read that law. Again, then it doesn't help you for the continuation. But I think Benjamin also mentioned to me, and others mentioned to me afterwards, and of course this is part of our topic, you know, that I think Asher also mentioned, that this last point in the Rambam, the need to emphasize that the bracha is not na'akedas, is in stark contrast to a view. The question is how prominent this view is, but it is quoted in the Rishonim, namely Hilchos Eretz Yisrael of Oldad Adani, you know, who made his mark here. I guess, you know, he was big in Hilchos Shkita about Nashim, which we'll get to. That's the first Tosis. But also his view was that if you don't make the bracha on the Shkita, then you're not allowed to eat the meat. And in the Mordechai's version of it, it's even called pigul. Anybody can get that open just for a second. Now that, of course, is very, you know, the word "pigul" is shocking. You know, it has shock value, you know, in its context. But when you know, apply "pigul" to something that isn't "pigul," that's really kind of shocking. So you have it there. Whoever gets it first gets the quote. Yeah. Got that? Got it? Yeah. Okay. Right in the beginning, there he quotes.
Yeah. So he says that other Yeshua called Tavash Yeshua Shita Shin Hadun of Yahima or Kaya Hoof, Pigal Hu, or Yoko Yeshua Shifan Al Kadish Lamak and Tfila.
Yeah, he has all sorts of things. If you don't make the bracha,
Im Yeshua below bracha, Pigal Hu.
Yeah, and then you have to have, you know, you have to Tovel, you know, and then, you know, you have to, I don't know if you have to say the Shem Yifu Kutcher Barichu, but, right, we'll have to ask the Rav Yehuda about that. But, right? So it's so the suggestion was made that maybe the Rambam is responding, you know, to the things that people were doing, and he's telling you not to do that. Again, similar to, if you remember, those who were here for Kiddushin a couple of years ago, right, the Rambam says that even when the Shliach is Makadish, the Isha, you know, he makes, you make the Birchas Eirusin, right? And it seems like what, yeah, of course, I mean, why do you need to tell us that? But we know that there was a practice that prevailed. That was that you know, when the shliach made the kiddushin, that they didn't make the birchas eirusin, but they made two birchas eirusins. You know, one at the time of the eirusin, and again, I'm just giving it as a mashal. Meaning, the Rambam does sometimes respond to other shitos, and especially if there was any contemporary. So that is very possible. I think Binyamin also asked me, like, how seriously do we take Eldad Adani? Now, that's a question. That's a legitimate question. But the fact that Rishonim are quoting it, you know, means that it's at least something to talk about. So I don't think that it is a complete coincidence. But in the end of the day, the fact that we relate to it, just as I think the fact that the Rambam relates to the Shliach issue, I think it's not only to be motzi, you know, against the shita that, as far as I know, no one ever paskin like, so that's strange. The Rambam in particular, you know, doesn't feel the need to quote every shita or to reject every shita, but I think because it resonates. That's really what I'm trying to say. That shita itself, number one, is fascinating and needs to be understood in light of the fact, using the expression pigul and everything else that goes along with it, implies that somehow when you do shkita on behemas chulin, that's kind of a davar shebikdusha. You're bringing that into the world of kanshin. So the Rambam, who in Sefer Mitzvos Kuf Mem Vav, you know, quoted this sifrei, you know, vizabachta here, right, is like vizabachta of kanshin, you know, and the other elements in the Rambam, which we've seen and will see. You know, so he's already sensitive to that. You know, he may not, you know, it may not be a prominent shita that people are paskining like, but maybe it's out there. And, you know, there's a point to rejecting it because the refutation kind of highlights that it's a reasonable, you know, concept or idea. So Rambam gets to have his cake and eat it too. Like, you know, the psak is correct and don't be misled. You probably wouldn't really be misled because, you know, who's ever paskining like that shita? But it is a conversation piece. But more than that, it's a conversation piece because it strikes a chord and resonates with the true nature of Shechita. Again, I'll give you another example, but we find this all the time in the Rambams, but a couple years ago, we were talking about the Kinyan Sudar, where I mentioned that the Rambam of the Mechira says a lot of people make mistakes about Kinyan Sudar. Right? They think it works for things that it doesn't work for, right? And they apply it, you know, when it's completely unnecessary. So my suggestion then was also that the Rambam the Rambam's genius was, said this many times, that he writes really on many levels at the same time. So on the one hand, he's telling you these things are wrong, but there's something about them, you know, which, notwithstanding they're being normatively, you know, inaccurate, kind of highlights the Rambam's special view of Kinyan Suda, which is that it's a Kinyan Das. That's what I think is happening here as well. Okay? And on the first point of Lepikach, I say that is the Lechem Bishus reading, but not the Kesem Bishus. That would depend on... I prefer the holistic... This is everything that the Rambam was trying to say. But, okay. Yeah.
I think this is even more interesting because I think I saw that the Beis Yosef might say thinks that the Rambam actually holds like the Rabbi, yeah, that who would still then be us for the person who does the Shechita Bor Bracha.
Say it again, that what?
I think I saw the Beis Yosef says that he thinks that the Rambam thinks that for the person himself, the meat might still be us if you Shechita Bor Bracha. He just disagrees with
For Rambam. Himself.
Yeah.
I mean, just regarding others.
Yeah.
And that's also part of the connection of.
Yeah, I mean, he thinks he's like more similar to the Rabbi than the Eldad Adani.
Right. So that's again an echo of this.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Very good. Yeah, we'll get to that. When we talk about the bracha more fully, we'll talk about those shittos. But that's a good ha'ara, and again reinforcing this idea, if you hold like that reading of the Rambam. Okay. Very good. And Avram, you had something to say?
This is another example of that. I have this kiddushin. I don't know if you still need to write a ketubah or something.
Say that again?
I can't remember
what it's
called. One more time? The answer is that you still need to write a ketubah, even if you did kiddushin or nisuin or something. Yeah. I'll look it up.
Definitely know exactly which one. Okay. But anyway, this is typical. I mean, the reason I'm suggesting some of these things is because the Rambam does this all the time. He writes, again, it makes it an unbelievably exciting, challenging, you know, impressive text. That's why we spend so much time, you know, thinking about the order and the language and the extra words and so on and so forth. It always pays off. Doesn't mean we're always right, but it always forces you to engage the issues. And I think here the Rambam, everything he's writing, you know, is connected to all of this. Okay. Good. So we'll speak more about that as we go forward. Okay. So having said that, let's talk about the different shittos about whether shechita is a mitzvah taseh and what that might mean. So the question whether or not Shechita is a mitzvah. Yeah.
Shein haktuba osa nisuin.
This is what?
Shein haktuba osa nisuin.
Oh, you mean that when the Rambam thought that that ketubah alone could be mekadesh.
Right.
I mean, that's another example where l'shitaso, once you know shita about ketubah, yesh dvarim bego. In other words, he wouldn't have said that about, you know, ketubah if he didn't have a certain view about what it is. If he thought it was just some financial instrument, then that's what you mean. Yeah, that's a great example, too. And there are many more, but, right, I mean, it happens that the Rambam thinks that a ksuva is very much a kiyum nishus. That's why he also connects the birchas nisuin and the ksuva and the nisuin. He sometimes uses the phrase ksuva instead of nisuin, and he has a special link with nisuin. Again, I don't want to go into all that now, but right, that's another example where things that he tells you are not true, he goes out of his way to tell you, not necessarily because it was, you know, so prevalent, where he lived or others, and he's just telling you, by the way, don't make this mistake, halakha l'maisa. It's more like, you know, given how we understand these institutions, you know, one would be tempted to think, you know, and so on and so forth, but it isn't so. We don't go that far. And that's what I'm saying, maybe he's saying here too, namely that it would make sense here for the bracha maybe even to be ma'akeh, because maybe the whole shechita is because of the mitzvah component that it kind of connects you to. But we're not going that far. So okay, good. So that's really what I think is going. So now, having said that, let's go back to the question itself: is shechita a mitzvah, a mitzvah saseh? What exactly is it? So, before we get to the details, I think it's worth spending a couple of minutes just kind of more broadly scoping out, some categories of mitzvos or minyan of mitzvos, and then we'll go back more specifically to Shechita. The question of whether any particular mitzvah, right, or any, any particular halachic institution constitutes a mitzvah worth listing or enumerating in minyan of mitzvos, always may be a dual question. Okay? Ariel, what do I mean by that?
Whether it's something that would fit the rules of the minyan of mitzvos.
Excellent.
And also whether it's actually a mitzvah.
What it is.
Right.
There really are two questions that we have to consider. Depending on the particular rishon and the particular question, both may be a factor, or it could all be decided by one or the other. Right? But there are always two issues. Right? One is the first one, which you mentioned, which is the broader question. Like, what is it that qualifies, to be counted in Taryag Mitzvahs? And as far as that is concerned, there are some basic categories to think about, but what I'm going to try to do, briefly, this is a massive, massive topic, you can only just imagine, is, to suggest that there are some subtle differences within categories also. And we're going to talk about them in just a minute. It's also very conceivable that, different Monet mitzvos have different criteria for counting. In the end of the day, especially if you believe that there are only Taryag, that's a tradition in Chazal, there's a lot more, candidates than Taryag. It's almost like, the Lamites almost Malacha, or maybe the Zayin Mitzvah from the Noach, if there was a cap to begin with, the Adam Sora, there was only seven or something. I'm not sure that we do, but in the case of Taryag, there may be that. In the case of Lamites almost Malachos, according to one view of the Gemara and Shabbos on Mem Tes, there's a cap of the number because malacha, appears X amount of times and so on. So then you have to you have to figure it out. So you have to be discerning. It's a task, to write minyan mitzvahs. So you need to really do two things. You need to figure out what your criteria are. And then, of course, the second point is, in any particular issue, to analyze the nature of that particular institution to see whether it falls into the accepted categories. That's obvious, but bears mentioning. Now, because there are two elements, let's say the analysis of this question, may differ from mona to mona. If you will. If you have different criteria, then that's going to affect also what you need, with respect to the particular mitzvah, and vice versa. So if there's just another way to say this, if there's a debate between the Bahag and the Rambam about minyan of mitzvos, right, then it could either be a debate about the larger, criteria question, or it could be a more local debate about, Shechita, right? The nature of Shechita. And only to, if you're going within, one system, right, within the worldview of the Rambam, within the worldview of the Smag, within the worldview of the Smak, within the worldview of the Urey, within the worldview of the Chinuch, and so on. So you hope at some point, although it can be a little tough, that you've figured out your criteria, and then at least, you can relax a little bit, and then devote the rest of your efforts, if you're really confident that you figured it out, that's the problem, on the particular applications. But if you're analyzing, the issue across Rishonim, like the Bahag and the Rambam or Absadjagon or, and so on, right, then it's just much more confusing, because you're not really sure, you know, some agreements mask a disagreement, you know, and some disagreements, you know, are just technical about minyan and mitzvos, and they're not about the mitzvah itself at all. Again, just to be more concrete, we know that there's a discussion and a debate about whether to count shechita as a mitzvah saseh separately, you know, or not. Separate from, let's say, the lav of Eivor Menachai, the lav of Nevela, that in itself is interesting, you know, what they connected to. Maybe separate in the case of Rambam from Shechitas Pesach, you know, for the Bahag, maybe separate from Shechitas Kodshim, right? But what is that argument about? Is it about Shechitas Chulin, right? Or, and maybe also Shechitas Kodshim, if that's part of the argument, or is it about this question of criteria? So again, within, you know, a closed system, you know, you can have a, it's easier to juxtapose, and otherwise you just have to know much more, you know, based on, you know, people's study, like what does the Bahag think, and now let's analyze it, what does Rupsaja think, and now, that's what needs to be done. Okay, so having said that, we're going to get in a second to the question of what the nature of Shechita is. Is it ever a chiyuv or a kind of contingent chiyuv? I'll explain in a minute. Is it a kiyum? Right? Is it a matir? Are there different types of matirim? Is it, you know, a lava baba chlala se? Right? Which we'll talk about as well. What is shechita? We're going to talk about that in a minute. That's really what's mostly germane to our limud, right? That's what we're trying to figure out. But the bigger question is, do you only count kumba asei chiyuvim, you know, in minyan mitzvos, in the essen part of minyan mitzvos? Let's zero in on the essen for the moment. Or do you also count contingent chiyuvim? I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. Or even kiyumim. Do you count any kind of matirim, right? And do you count, you know, lava bum b'chalal asay? A lava bum b'chalal asay, we conclude, is an asay, or it's called an asay, or it's treated as an asay, but do you count that in minyan mitzvos or not? These are all questions. Well, so, let's talk about the categories to make them clearer for the moment. And again, this is, there are so many examples, and it goes across the different systems. So, what's obvious that you would count in Essen and Minyan Mitzvos is, you know, straightforward, you know, Chovas Agavras, Chiyuvim, you know, Tkiyas Shofar and Lulav and Sukkah and, you know, the Haftalah Reacha Kamocha, and, you know, again, all these types of things which are chiyuvim, akarkafta de gavra, things that you're supposed to do or believe, and even beliefs, again, that represents a different question, we'll talk about yesterday. But typical chiyuvim are kumbase, you know, they're a chiyuv, either tmidi or at the right time, or at a certain time, but there's a point where they become chiyuv. Eating in the sukkah the first night, this is an example, is a, you know, a chiyuv. Right, Masukas Teshvu Shivas Yamim, right? But what about on the Chiyuvim level? Let's just call this category A Chiyuvim. What about circumstances that we may, and this is part of the question, dub or label contingent Chiyuvim, or context, or in their context Chiyuvim? And that sounds unnecessarily complicated. What do I mean by that? So let's say eating in the sukkah, right, after the first kezias, or maybe kebetz, according to some Rishonim, or after the first night, right, I'm not talking about Yom Tov, right? You're not allowed to eat chutz l'sukkah, you know, if you eat a certain amount, certainly, right? But you're not obligated to eat in the sukkah either. That's what the Gemara says, right? Yibayachal, yibayilayachal. Right? As it happens, you keep making a bracha anyway. But in the end of the day, what is that? Is that a reshus? An akiyum? Right? Or is that, well, once you've decided, once you've made the decision that you're eating a meal, or you're eating, you know, davar kavua, that requires the sukkah, so now you're mechuyev to eat in the sukkah. That's what I mean by a context-driven or contingent, you know, kind of a chiyuv. That's a debate, not for now, in the world of sukkah, whether or not we look at, you know, sukkah beyond the, you know, the beginning, as just everybody agrees it's a chiyuv mitzvah, right? Everybody agrees that there's, you know, an iser lechol chutz l'sukkah. Everybody agrees that there's a chiyuv mitzvah when you eat in the sukkah. And there are some Rishonim who seem to be of the view that it's also a chiyuv mitzvah once you've, you know, settled on, you know, eating a meal. Now, this idea of a contingent chiyuv itself is a little bit complicated in that you could just say the category doesn't exist. Right? And the only way that the category does exist, I'll add, in my opinion, is if there's some sort of a chalos, you know, meaning the halacha kind of recognizes this state, right, which, because it isn't just a circumstance, oh, I happen to be eating now, so there's an Isra Lachal Kutsa Sukkah, right, so I've got to eat in the sukkah, and by the way, there's also a kiyum, probably. Well, the fact that I make a bracha probably implies that there's still a kiyum, right? Is there something called, you know, a state of, or a framework of achila kavua, you know, which then demands, instead of saying, oh, this is the you know, this is the just circumstances in which I'm eating here. Do those circumstances ever create their own reality, in which case you have a kind of contingent key? I'll give you another example of it. That's a debate regarding sukkah, why that even exists. Another example of that is tzitzis. Right? You, as we know, you know, tzitzis, unlike tefillin and other things, you know, is contingent upon wearing the right kind of beged, right? So, if you want to avoid that beged, then there's no chiyuv karkaf to the gavra, you know, to wear tzitzis. But tzitzis certainly is counted in the minyan mitzvos. Is that just because it's a chiyuv mitzvah? That's the next category, or is that because when you're wearing a beged of arba kanfos, so then it's your mechuyev? You know, it's not just an usser lo will vosh, you know, tzitzis. It's that in those conditions, you're chayim, that's a... But what I mean by the chalos idea is, in other words, is there something called, you know, levishas, you know, beged, you know, which is you know, which is a new circumstance, you know, in which, yeah, now there's a key of tzitzis. Or, no, it's just, you're not mechuyev ever to read tzitzis, you just can't, you know, wear a beged dalid kanfos without them, and you know that everything just, and you also are mekayim a mitzvah when you do it properly, and everything is, you know, in between those two things is just part of the same halacha. Right. So again, I'm just going to apply this to shechita for the moment. With regard to shechita, it's perfectly clear that it doesn't come under the, it's not you know, lulav, and it's not sukkah biyom rishon, and it's not shofar. You know, and it's not the haftalah reacha kamocha. There's no chiyuv karkaf to the gabra of, you know, of shechting and eating, right? And therefore, one could say that there's no chiyuv whatsoever. Or is it possible that in yirtza lechol basar, that there's a state or circumstance, as a kalos of, you know, I'm in my carnivorous, you know, mode, you know, and, you know, in my, you know, in my identity as a carnivore, I'm not so serious, but a little bit. And so, you know, as in my carnivore manifestation, you know, I'm the chuyev lishkov, the leachol. Right? Just like if I'm eating the meal, I have to, you know, eat it in the sukkah as a chiyuv. Just like if I'm wearing the beged, I'm the chuyev betzitzes, not just, you know, osor. And those circumstances. So it's interesting, we'll soon see that in the Kesa Mishnah kind of does suggest such a thing, that it's a say in Yirtzeh. Sounds like he thinks that there's a chiyu shechita, whereas many mefarshim will see the formulations in just a couple of minutes, you know, always emphasize that you don't have to eat meat and therefore you don't need shechita. Because you happen to be eating meat, that's just a reality, factual reality, not a halachic state or a new framework, you know, that the halacha recognizes, within which now we can analyze, you know, the, you know, engendering of new chiyuvim, like many can tell you that there is such a thing, right? So, do you count? Are there chiyuvim contingent? I'm calling them contingent chiyuvim or circumstantial chiyuvim. And would you count them? The answer of would you count them is probably yes. Certainly counts. The question is whether they exist or whether there's something a little different. Not so. That's first category. Well, that's category 1A, you know, real chiyuvim, straight chiyuvim, classical chiyuvim, which everybody counts, and 1B. The other way to look at, let's say, tzitzis and sukkah, as I said, is to look at them not in terms of contingent chiyuvim, but as chiyumim. Right? You do fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah when you eat there. You might even fulfill that mitzvah when you eat in a kavua, that's a big debate. Whether you make a bracha under those circumstances, etc. Again, I don't want to get into sukkah at the moment. But, you know, again, tzitzis. Is it all about the kiyuma mitzvah? Or that, you know, contingent kiyum? Everybody does count tzitzis. And most people, everybody counts sukkah as a mitzvah, counts shivas yamim. They don't limit it, you know, to the first kazayas. What is limited to the first kazayas is certain specific dinim, right? When there's a patur mitzdayer or a geshem or other things, those are, you know, miduyak, again, already in the Rishonim. But in minyan mitzvos, you know, based on psukim, it's but sukkas teishvu shivas yamim. Notwithstanding the rishus element. So that could be because the second category is kiyum. Is shechita candidate for kiyum? In my opinion, the answer is yes. Even if it isn't a contingent chiyu, in other words, a mirtza, he's mechuyev, maybe, you know, the mirtza doesn't just have to be the circumstances of either just being a matir or just being a lava b'machal haseh. It could be the circumstances in which there's a kiyum. But what I mean by a kiyum here, again, the kiyum of sitting in the sukkah, we understand, because it's a kiyum to sit in the sukkah also. Even the kiyum of wearing the tzitzis, you know, we can understand, because I think our instinct is that the need for a beged shel arba kanfos is kind of, again, the contingent kiyum in a way, or the framework that makes it meaningful. It's harder to know or to say that about something like shechita, being presently carnivorously challenged or whatever the right, you know, expression is. Nonetheless, if shechita makes a point, if there's something about shechita, I'll say it this way, if shechita kind of highlights the kadshim aspect of achilas chulin, right, then the opportunity to do it, you know, when it is relevant, isn't just a necessity. You know, it is it accomplishes something in terms of kiddusha and mitzvahs. So it is possible that shechita is a kiyum. Very closely connected to that is the next category, and that is the question of matiri. So again, classical matirim are generally value neutral, and even possibly implication neutral. Okay? By which I mean, you know, this is what you have to do in order to avoid an isur, to be able to accomplish what you want. It's called a matir, and you know, it's kind of definitional, but it doesn't have wider implications about anything else. So, for example, nikur or malicha, mostly. Okay, you want to, in order to eat in certain conditions, you have to make sure that you're not, you know, that you're avoiding Nisurin, Dam in the case of Malicha, Chalev in the case of, you know, Nipur and so on. So those are things that you have to do prior, you know, to proceeding. But, as I say, they're kind of value neutral. No one thinks that, mostly people don't think, you know, that Malicha is a little trickier, but because Malicha has a conscious element too, but leave it aside for the moment. Nikur and so on, basically, mostly, you know, we think of it as, number one, it's a physical matir. Physical matirim are more likely, so I'm trying to choose my words carefully, to be value neutral than halachic matirim. The more something is a halachic institution, a halachic matir, you know, you wonder whether or not, you know, there isn't something more to it. So what are halachic matirim as opposed to something like nikur and malicha, like eruv, netilas yadayim. All right, mostly we think, again, every one of these needs to be played out. Mostly we think that Eruv and Netilas Yadayim, even though they're halachic matirim, again, are mostly value neutral, meaning the halachic reality creates a certain, you know, certain facts on the ground, you know, that, you know, the Eruv, you know, halachically, you know, creates a single rishus. And the Netilas Yadayim, well, Netilas Yadayim is a little trickier. It depends what it's for, but certainly if it has a negative connotation, if it's, you know, to neutralize Tumma, not so much to highlight Kedusha, that may be a major debate between Gajba and the Rush about Netilas Yadayim. But the more you think of Netilas Yadayim, you know, in the negative, so even though it is a halachic, you know, a matir institution, but again, mostly it's you know, value neutral. However, the more you think of it, of the matirim in terms of kedusha, or a methodology that implies an approach that is unique to kedusha Yisrael, even if something is a matir, then A, it borders on being a kiyum. But even if it doesn't attain the status of a kiyum, even if it remains only a matir, in my opinion, certain, you know, matirim with implications, right, are more qualified to be mitzvahs. So, mashal amad over domeh. Again, I talked about malicha and nikur, fine. Eruvin and netilas yadayim, fine. We're really talking, of course, so I'll get to that in just a second, about shvita. But let's talk about some other ones, you know, famous ones. Again, Kiddushin, right, Gittin, Chalitza, right, this is a big issue. Are these matirim or mitzvahs? And should you count them in the mitzvahs? Right, again, you don't have to get divorced. It's better not to get divorced, obviously. When the Zbeach cries, it's a terrible thing. When the idealism of a marriage is not sustainable, you know. So, Hakan the Rambam counts, and many Monia mitzvos count. You know, because of La Sefer Krisis, you know, the Nasim Biyada, Parshas Kitetze, in the Minyan of Mitzvos. Even Kiddushin, which, as we know, is a very joyous occasion. Right, but it's kihikachi shisha, and especially the erusin part. We're going to focus on that. So, is there a mitzvah to get married? Right, at least in my opinion, the view of the Rambam, and then, you know, is that im yirtza ish lisa isha? Right, what he does is goes about doing that, you know, the erusin, which is kodem l'nisur. That's the language that the Rambam uses in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus. And then he says, V'likuchin elu, after describing that, in Yirtza Ish, Lisa Isha, Kodamat Torah, Haya Pogea, Adam, Isha B'shuk, Imratzahu, Baratztahi. You know, and then he says, however, Lachar Matan Torah, right, in Yirtza Ish, Lisa Isha, he has to be the Kaddish with Erusin prior to Kiddushin. And then he says, V'likuchin elu, Mitzvah Saseh, shel Torah. So those many who think, again, if you look in the Chinuch, if you look in the Rambam, it sounds like there is no mitzvah lekadesh. The mitzvah is when, you know, or if you decide to get married, you know, to do Soliday Kiddushin. Again, there are some Rishonim who completely deny that Kiddushin is a mitzvah in its own right. In the Rush, which we'll get to soon, Ksuvas says that Ki Yikachi Shisha is neutral, not a chiyu. The mitzvah is period of Arivia, but you can also accomplish, says the Rush, period of Arivia. It's not advisable, it's, you know, it's a terrible way to do it, but you can accomplish period of Arivia outside of Isha, so that's the view of the Rush. And Ki Yikach is not a mitzvah at all. What is it? It's a matir. The bracha that we say in Bircha Seiris, and according to the Rush, is a Bircha Shevach of the Hoda. We'll get back to that. Not a Bircha, hopefully you saw that already, right? In the Mar Makomas. In the Bircha, because he makes reference to Abraham Achai and Shechita, and we'll get to that in a second. Not a second, but in the context of all that. Oh. So the point is our Rishonim, who explicitly say that Kiddushin is a matir, right, for Heter Isha Labala, you know, but not necessarily a mitzvah. Again, the smack sounds like he thinks that there's an obligation to get married, to be ma'ares and mekadesh and isha. But it's very meduyak in the Rambam, in Sefer Mitzvos, in the Koteret, in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph Beis, in Hilchos Ishos, that he doesn't hold that way. He thinks it's a chi of Piri of Arivia, and he thinks it's a mitzvah of Kiddushin, but not a mitzvah to get married, but say to get married, when you get married, to get married in this particular way. So what does that mean? And why is Gittin a mitzvah, or counted as a mitzvah? You don't say a bracha on Gittin, you do say a bracha on Kiddush. Chalitza is counted as a mitzvah, right? It too seems to be a matir. It's matir the Yavama Lashuk. No. So does the Rambam count matirim? This is a massive debate among the Nosakim. Right, some of them say about some of these cases, you know, or all of them. Shechita, Kiddushin, Gittin, Chalitza. You see, the Rambam, you know, counts Matirim in the mitzvahs. My own personal view is that the Rambam per se does not count Matirim. And the Rambam only counts Matirim when the method of the Matir highlights a certain value and perspective on the institution. And that's what I was, you know, alluding to before. I mean, it's a matir which is value with value implications. Meaning, in the case of Kiddushin, right, what the Torah is telling us is, and what the Rambam is articulating very subtly, is that the methodology, the necessary methodology of Eirusin, Kodim, and Nisuin, right, highlights what is singular about the Torah approach as opposed to the Ben Noach or the, you know, culturally, you know, prevailing, you know, approach of Ishus. Namely, that building in the Iser or the Oser, Kodem Leheter, in terms of, is a way of injecting Kedusha. And that's what Birchas Eirusin, in my opinion, whether it's Birchas Shevach or Birchas HaMitzvah, for the Rambam is a Birchas HaMitzvah, that's really what it says. Sivanu al arayos, vaser lanu sarusos, viter lanu sarusos lanu, al yidei kupa v'kidushin. What the bracha is really telling us is that this methodology speaks to the aspirations, the idealism, the kedusha. What's in the nusach habracha and in kedusha? The kadesh, amo Yisrael, and according to our girsa, al yidei kupa v'kidushin. It's a symbol of kedusha Yisrael. The same thing is true with Gittin, although in the case of Kiddushin, I would say there's a double element. It's a matir, which implies a perspective of Kiddusha that is critical to Yishus. And because of that, it's also a kiyum. But that's where the kiyum comes from. The Oser part, the Eirusin part, the Likukhanelu, Mitzaseh, Shaltorehim, deserves a bracha because it's also a kiyum. It's a kiyum because of what it adds. In the case of Gittin, you have the first part, not the second part. It's an unhappy circumstance. You know, one could have envisioned a perspective on Kiddushin, given what I said previously, that wouldn't allow for Gittin. Right? Yeshiva was also learning Gittin this year. You all learned Gittin last year, whoever was in Eretz Yisrael.
So why would that one be this year?
So, as everybody knows, the end of Gittin, you know, is the discussion of what constitutes Darshan Erba, right? You can learn that Mishnah and that whole sugya in two ways. When we learn Gittin, probably be in a few more years, talk about it. One way is that, you know, it's, you know, there's an easy exit to Nishas. Technically, that's true. You know, because we paskin that matzah by Erpas Davar, you know, is filu visha tavshilo, and certainly, you know, matzah isha na'ad imenu. You don't have paskin that it's only literal Erpas Davar. So on the surface, that seems like really disturbing. But my take on it is that it's the opposite. Meaning the Ishus is such a sanctified institution and our idealism when it comes to it is so acute that you can't, you know, imprison people in an Ishus. And that an Ishus which goes sour because of trivial things is an Ishus whose kedusha has already been compromised. So again, you still want to avoid that. But if you can't avoid it, and people like, you know, Dichot Tavshilo is a reason that a person equates with Matzah B'Erevas Dabar, then the high standards of the Ishos dictate. Why am I telling you all this? Meaning, Gerushin isn't just a technical way to get out of an Ishos. And really, what's different about Bnei Noach and Yisrael when it comes to Gerushin is that it has to be B'Ksav. And it has to be Lishma. These are the things that the Rambam emphasizes. These are the things that the Rambam also emphasizes in Malachim, right, etc. Meaning, the methodology of the Matir of Gerushin, and I would say the same thing about Chalitza, I just don't want to expand on either one, because each one, because we'll never get anywhere. But, you know, Chalitza vis-a-vis Yibum, you know, that particular method highlights, you know, Kedushas Yisrael and Kedushas Ishus. Consequently, it isn't stam a matir, right? It is a matir which highlights Kedushas Yisrael and how that is expressed in this particular or these particular institutions. Frankly, I think that that is the case, even not in matirim, but even in certain emphases of Maisel. I'll just give you one example from what we were talking about yesterday in Elul. That is Rambam's view of the Bidu. Right? The Rambam is well known, I mentioned it very briefly yesterday. There's some ambiguity in the Rambam whether the mitzvah of tshuva is tshuva or Bidu. And a lot has been said about this. The Chinuch and the Mabit, and everybody weighs in on this problem because the Rambam seems to have promulgated or promoted the status of Bidui, you know, well beyond some. Think even to the, you know, exclusion of or the de-emphasis of the tshuva itself. Tshuva is the ikar, clearly. Rav thought that what the Rambam was saying was that the maisa mitzvah of tshuva is bidui, while the kiyama mitzvah is the tshuva b'lev. And I think that there's a lot of good evidence for that. But I would like to take it a step further, again, without going through the details right now, and that is, I think it's more than that. I think the idea is that the fact that the methodology or that the Maisa Mitzvah of Tshuva is Al-Yidei Bidui itself tells you a lot about what Tshuva means in the context of Kedushas Yisrael. And here I think there is a difference between the Tshuva of a Ben Noach, you know, like Yonah, Tshuva Midakei Chamara, and the Tshuva of Klal Yisrael. And the Mabit in his Beis Elokim speaks about a lot of these differences. But I think the bigger idea is that when you are forced to articulate something, you know, and to confront certain aspects, certain deficiencies in your own personality that lead to chet, the busha, the charata, the kabbalah la'asid, if they're going to be real and authentic, it isn't a davar shelo baliola, but just platitudes. You know, if it's not just wordplay, if it's really b'picha b'vav chalasoso, then what that shows is that tshuva isn't just about neutralizing something I spoke about yesterday, neutralizing chet. It's an avoda and it's a methodology, you know, of upgrading your, you know, halachic profile, your halachic personality. Your stature as a member of Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. So again, the vidui, the method, highlights the different perspective or character in the institution and the context. I think that's why the Rambam emphasizes vidui so much, as a shiur in a different kind of tshuva. And I think that is true for many of the matirim in the Rambam as well. Meaning Erusin Kodim Kiddushin, or Gitin B'derach Ksavu L'Shma, or Chalitza, you know, in its particular tzura, all of these aren't just narrowly matirim that allow you to avoid isurim. They are. But the fact that you're avoiding the various isurim in this particular way, right, is a way of highlighting the ambition, you know, the Kedusha element of the institutions themselves. And what I think is happening in Shechita, possibly something like that as well. We talk about there being a Kiyum in Shechita, or maybe even a contingent Kiyum, or Kiyum. And even if you don't want to say either of those, you wanted to say that it's a Matir, what I'm suggesting is that maybe even if it is a Matir, it is a Matir which is value-laden. That it's a Matir the way Erusin is a matir, the way Gittin is a matir, the way Chalitza is a matir, the way Bidu is a Maisa Tshuva, namely the methodology that you use to be matir, Achilas Basar, to neutralize either Eber Menachai or Nevela or both, the fact that you do this, Ayide Shechita, something that comes from the world of Kadshim, if indeed that's what's important about it, like the Sifrei, something that deserves a bracha, maybe something, according to the Ramban in his Perush Al HaTorah, you know, that neutralizes the nefesh part of the behema, you know, so that then your heter can apply to its guf, because of the way that you're doing it, or Tzar Balei Chayim, or whatever it is, which demonstrates, you know, a de-emphasis of cruelty, or which simply transforms, using the Balei Tosis perspective on Adam, you know, which takes, you know, a Baal Chai and, you know, effectively turns it into a Chafetz Shel Basar, as opposed to, you know, eating, you know, the previous Baal Chai. If that's what Shechita does in the way that it does it, then Shechita isn't just a matir, but that particular methodology of Heter, right, is either a kiyum, or even if it's not a kiyum, it's a matir worth counting in minyan mitzvahs. So that's a big question in Criterion, and that's a question in Shechita, or any of these cases, on an individual level. Okay. The next level, which is a minyan mitzvahs, this I want to talk about very quickly, I want to talk about three other issues in counting this very quickly. What is a lav and an aseh? When do you count a lav and an aseh? So the Rambam, we'll get to soon, in Shoresh Vav, in Minyan Mitzvos, says everybody knows you count a lav and an aseh. No one disagrees. And he gives three examples. Alex, you saw it? What are the three examples? Between, you know, paradigms.
When they're flip sides of the same coin.
When they're two sides, seem like two sides of the same coin, for example.
Not eating on Yom Kippur.
Vinisim on Yom Kippur, Malacha on Shabbos, Malacha on Yontif, Malacha on Yom Kippur, right? Where you have an Aseh and a Lav. That's one. And the other two?
The Aseh precedes the Lav.
If the Aseh precedes the Lav, or if the Lav is Nitkan Ayideh HaAseh, Lav Hanita Kalaseh. Or lav shekidmo le'ase. That's the rabbi. Now the fact is, again, you know, each one of these, there's a lot to talk about. But let's say it's easier to understand why you would count separately a lav and le'ase in lav shekidmo le'ase or lav hanitak le'ase, because it seems, at least superficially, I don't say superficially, that's too harsh a term. It seems pretty clear that the functions of the lav and the asay are different. Right? I mean, they're not just kefel hadvarim. We're talking about, you know, different components, right? You know, the heishav is like zela or gazal. You know, is very different than the gzela. Obviously, they're not redundant. Even then, there's something to talk about because you can wonder, and this is a big issue in lav amita class A. You know, whether or not, you know, the violation is a violation, but there's a tikkun, or, you know, the full violation only comes when you've eliminated the tikkun. In other words, the fullness of the violation itself is the lav, you know, maybe that's why there's no malchus, because it's kind of an incomplete lav, not so much that you can be metaking the lav or a shiur in the lav. It's maybe a lack of hashlama. That's a hakira to ask, if you want to know, or to investigate in lav anita klasei. In my opinion, there are two types of lav anita klaseis. I think that's what the evidence shows, at least for some. But all things being equal, we understand that there's no... They're different. I mean, they relate to different things. And again, lav shekid moasei, certainly. Certainly that's the case. But when it comes to lav and the asei, that's a tricky question. Is it so obvious that if you have an asei and a lav, that you should count them separately? First of all, there are people who don't. Again, if you read through, you know, Sefer Mitzvah Sajigo and Rabbi Rucham Peshel Perlo, like this is like a big theme of his. That the Bahag doesn't count Essen and Lavin, you know, when they're Kefel, to use Alex's term. That Rabbi Sajigo doesn't. There are a few others who don't. So, why not? Because it's Kefel. It's gratuitous. The Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo thinks that the only time Rabbi Sajigon and the Bahag ever count an Asay and a Lav that seem to be Kefal is if there's a halakhic nafkamina that differentiates them. Okay. And then, and this is a little survey, but sorry to take the time, but it's important. And then, he also thinks that some Monei Mitzvah have the default if they're going to. Because typically, the ones who only count one when there's a kefal, do they count the asay or do they count the lav? But he thinks that, I think, this is what he thinks, I could be mixing them up, I think that Rabbi Sajigon always counts the asay, and the Bahag usually counts default the lav. That's his view. In my opinion, having gone through some of the evidence, you know, one could take a little bit of issue, qualified issue, with both things that he says. In other words, is it really only true that they count twice when there's an afkamina? I'm not so sure, and I'll explain in a second. And is it really so true that, you know, each of these, each in this camp, that each person in this camp has a default, you know, one or the other? So again, to streamline, in my opinion, what also may be happening here is that it depends on the particular dynamic, the particular issue in question. Meaning, the nafkamina isn't a technicality. You know, oh, it's redundant if they're the same, but if there are some cases included in one and not in the other, you know, then, you know, he also thinks that, you know, if one is more expansive and the other is more limited, so you'll count the more expansive one. But let's say there are nafkaminas on both sides, and you'd count both. But in my opinion, the might be cases where there's no nafkamina. And the reason why the nafkamina is typically, you know, something to look for is because the real issue is the issue of mechayv. Meaning, when there's an asay and a lav, this is what goes back to what the Rambam says. Rambam says, well, with asay and a lav, you know, everybody counts separately the asay and the lav. What does the Rambam mean by that? Does he mean that the asay and the lav are really, right, kefel, they're really the same, one theme, but expressed positively and negatively? But it's not redundant because, you know, one is a credit and the other is a demerit. So even though the credit and the demerit come for the same, not just the same action or inaction, but even are the same mechayev, right, the differentiation, you know, between the, you know, in your permanent record, I guess, you know, and how this is stored, justifies separate mitzvos in the minyan taryag. Is that the pshat in the Rambam? If you look at the language of the Rambam in the end of Shorish Vav, in my opinion, it sounds a lot more Like the Rambam is saying that when there's an assay and there's a lav, so default, the assumption should be that the Torah used both of these expressions, these different expressions, because the Torah itself was interested in highlighting that what looks like one theme really expresses itself in two different ways, two mechayim. Namely, there's a kiyum and there's an isa. So, for example, Shabbos, right? It's an egregious, you know, violation, an intrinsic chilul Shabbos when you do malacha on Shabbos, right? Probably less so on Yom Tov, which is the onesh and also conceptually, right? But that is certainly kivo Shabbos mikol malacha shabar lekim lasos and this chilul malachos. Every violation of Shabbos is an intrinsic slap in the face to kedusha Shabbos. At the same time, right, the Rambam is of the opinion that, you know, Shvisa b'Shabbos, this is just the amalgamation of not violating the mitzvah, not violating the Isurim, there's also Kiyum. Have you spent the whole day in Shvisa? I mean, again, the Rambam says it best in this famous piece in Parshas Emor, where the Rambam says, you know, that even certain Drabbanans, you know, could constitute the basis for Shvisas, for the assay of Shvisa Shabbat. The Rambam also seems to have held that in Perek Chaf Aleph, Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph. Rambam got the credit because he spelled it out. But my point being that I think what the Rambam really says here in Shoresh Vav. Then he has the three types, right? The first one is masim and amasim mitzvah seva over yavar al mitzvah lo sasei Shabbos Yom Tov Shmita, right? Hamenucha behem mitzvah sasei chein tainus tzom, right? Yom Kippur is mitzvah sasei v'achila bo mitzvah lo sasei, and then he says in the end. The Kumin Me'elo Roshi Mana Asay Shabo Bechlam Bitzasay Velav Bechlam Bitzasay Ki Bebir Omer Chacham Bechalachas Vem Shein Bitzasay Bitzasay Ahar Bepam Yomra Asay Shabo Velav Shabo Vehu Dover Mevuar She Inyan Atzibi Bohem Zulas Ha Inyan O Azara Ushneim Shnei Inyanim Nivdalim Tziva Be'echad Mehem Behizer Min Ha'acher Velo Tal Beshorish Shemadam. Okay, that part is... Although... According to what I'm saying, maybe it isn't so bad. We'll see in a moment. So it sounds like what the Rambam is saying, not merely that, you know, they're not redundant, and therefore, you know, you can count them, but that the fact that there's an azhara and a mitzvah make them different. Right? And Shabbos is a great example. Are you not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, or are you obligated, you know, to fast? That's not a tozer chakir. You know, actually, Torah, when it comes to Yom Kippur, emphasizes the asay. You know, we learn the lav kind of by implication. Is it a coincidence, right? So, when Rav Sajigon or Rav Bahag count asay and a lav, maybe they just have a more skeptical view than the Rambam about, you know, does the fact that the Torah formulates it as an asay and a lav already mean there are different mechaibim, even if it's not so obvious? Or is it only if there are nafgamina that we can know that there are different mechayim? Right? Or maybe sometimes there'll be nafgamina, but they'll be for technical reasons, and there aren't two mechayim. Or maybe sometimes there are no nafgamina, but it's clear that there are two mechayim. Similarly, are you default going to count it as an asay or lav? That's just a minyan of mitzvos or an orientation issue? What do you think, the Torah is more kiyum oriented or isur oriented? Are we reinforcing kiyum and reinforcing isur? Maybe it more depends, or maybe that's an aspect of it. But there are always going to be exceptions, you know, for the Bahad, for Absajigon, even on that question when you're counting one, which you'll count, because you always have to examine the details of this particular din. Like, is Yom Kippur more a kiyum or more an isur? Does the isur flow from the kiyum? Or if there aren't two dinim, right, which one is the dominant din? And there could be an argument about that. Okay. Having said that, that's lav and esed. There's also an interesting argument between the Rambam and the Ramban this we'll discuss. It's going to mention it now, but we'll discuss in detail when we get to, you know, the first Amud in Chulin, because it's a Temura issue. Lo sachli fenu velo lo yachli fenu velo yamir. And 2 days in Tosis in different places, Chulin, Temura, whether you get double malt or bayura baymatze. We'll talk about it when we get there. But just to put the question on the table, when you have double lavin or double essen, like tzedakah, dasam titein pasach tikta. Los amets vavcha lo tikpots yadcha. So do you count them twice or once? And is there double malchus? The issue Tosis discusses about Temura is whether there's double malchus. Oh. So that, on the question of counting, it seems to be a debate between Rambam and Ramban, which we'll discuss then. But I'm going to suggest then something very similar to what I just said about Rav Sadia going to the Bahag and the Rambam and so on. And that is that maybe it's not purely a criterion question, although maybe there is a default higher threshold, you know, for each one. But in my opinion, there are going to be cases where even the Ramban, you know, is going to double count, and cases where the Rambam is not going to double count. And that the issue may very well be, once again, when you have double essen or double lavin, right, are you talking about two mechaibin that overlap? Or are you just talking about reinforcing the lavar alav basei ubalav? You know, or lavar alav b'shnei lavin? You know, that's a chomer hadavar or an onesh thing? Or because there are subtly different, you know, the chayvim of here? So that brings us to the final one that I want to talk about just for a minute or two. And then we'll talk more about it as we go forward. And that is lav haba mechlal asei. So we say a lav haba mechlal asei is not asei. What is a lav haba mechlal asei? It's a situation where you have a mitzvah asei, where you have a formulation in the Torah of an asei, but it appears to only be reinforcing a lav. What's the difference between having a pure asei and a lav? You know, and having something which is a lav haba mechlal asei that most people think we treat as an asei, but much less likely to be counting a minyan mitzvahs. So the Ramban, we'll read inside the, again, we're going to address on Thursday, but the Ramban in Shoresh Vav, that's his takeoff point. Says, oh, the Rambam says no one ever argues on this point. He doesn't talk about the Haig and that whole part of it. He says, oh, but there's another category that he left out, which there seems to be an argument about, and in which one of the Bali Machlokes, you know, who shall not be named, you know, is Toa. Right? So, very nice of the Ramban to hold back just a little bit. And what is that? Right? Lava Babakla, what he calls Lava Babakla Lase. What's a prime example of that, Arye? Of lava baba klal asei? God, how are you?
That's confusing. The line.
What? Yeah.
It's confusing the line.
Oh, okay, you could answer. Go ahead. Either one of you. Or both. What's a prime example? Yitzhak? Exactly. Or eating only Of Tahar and not eating Of Tameh. Right? Not eating only Of Tahar or only Chagavim, Tahorim, or only the Hema V'chaya, right, Tahorim. That's the example that the Ramban highlights. Right? He says that, what is that? There's a mitzvah to eat, the Hema and Chaya? Or chagavim, or dugim, tahorim. You get a kiyama mitzvah for every bite, for every, you know, meal. Like, doesn't seem like it, right? So, at the end of the day, what is that? And why is the Rambam, you know, mitzvah, whatever it is, what is it, kuf mentes tekufnun beis or something like that. We'll talk about it. Why is he counting, you know, eating kosher food as a mitzvah saseh? That's a lav above b'chlal asay, says the Ramban, which is just a lav. Again, we'll read part of insights that we'll talk about. That's also it's not shechita exactly, but it's definitely related to our bigger topic. Right? Says the Ramban, that's just wrong. You count the lav, that's the ikar davar, and you don't count that asay, because it's just a pylon. It's just a reinforcement. Right? It's just to get you more, give you more incentive to do the right thing, or more onesh if you do the wrong thing. Oh. So the Rambam really felt that every lav of Amakal asay, you know, gets counted? I mean, is Ramban fair about that? So the Nosa Kalim, again, if you look at the Mefarshim in Sefer Mitzvos and elsewhere, for the individual cases, you know, there are two points to be made. One is that maybe the Rambam didn't think that this was exactly a lav above a klal asay. Okay, we'll talk about that. Maybe he felt that b'dikas hasimanim, you know, is part of it, or, you know, whatever. You know, that's definitely a good possibility, both in the language of the Psukim, especially in the treatment of the Rambam, both in Sefer Mitzvos and in the beginning of Hilchos Machalos Asuros. Partially, this is the discussion also between Rabbi Daniel, Hababli, and Rabbi Avram ben Rambam, the first part of the discussion. I'm going to table that until we finish the other things. We'll get back to it. But even on and b'toras lava b'mechlal asay itself, right? Is it inconceivable that there are different types? Meaning that sometimes a lava b'mechlal asay is really just a reinforcement of the lav, and then the Rambam doesn't count them either. Because plenty doesn't count, as they point out. Maybe the ones that he doesn't count, even if he thinks it is b'toras lav b'mechlal asay, maybe he thinks that it's kind of like, you know, to show that even though this is primarily a lav, there's a kiyum in being shomer this particular lav. Because the statement that you're making, again, about whatever that topic is, let's say Kedushas Machalos Asuros, or Kedushas Achila, is kind of a... There's an asay element, and it isn't just the Torah's mysterious way of reinforcing, you know, an Ikar Halav, but maybe the choice of making it sound, at least, as if there's a mitzvah sachila or a mitzvah sasei too, even though it's not separate really from the lav, shows that the lav isn't all negative. Right? Abstaining from the lav, you know, is a kiyum too. Or at least being aware of avoiding the lav, maybe that's a kiyum. Okay. So having said all of that, that's our kind of structure. And then finally, what about base S and base lav? We'll get back to that. So now let's look at what actually is being said in Shechita. Oh. So regarding, before we even get into the details, I think there are three factors to consider in Shechita, Beirosh. One is the significance of the phrase Kasher Tzivi Tzifa. Does that imply merely the Torah Shebal Peh part, or Kasher Tzivi Tzicha means that it's a mitzvah? Some quote Kasher Tzivi Tzicha to show it's a mitzvah. Others do not. Okay, that we already talked about in Ramban, a little bit in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. Right? I should add that Matthew brought to my attention yesterday that even though many people say Kasher Tzivi Tzicha is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, meaning based on the Gemara in Chav Ches and the Sifrei, etc., but the language of the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalid, does seem to emphasize not so much that it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, but that it's Torah Shebal Peh, and that mitzvah in the sense of, again, I didn't have the text in front of me the other day, but again, Hagdama to Sefer Maggah, which he makes reference to, you know, which is that line, again, that pasuk in Mishpatim, this is how the Rambam begins Mishnah Torah. Kol mitzvah shenitna l'moshe m'Sinai, the perusha nitna. Shenemar, v'etna l'chol esluchos, evan ha-Torah mitzvah, Torah zu Torah shebetzad, u'mitzvah zu perusha. V'tzivanu la'asal satara al pi ha'mitzvah, u'mitzvah zu hi anikreis Torah shebal peh. That's the lines that the Rambam is referring to in Yabatera, Alex, in Halakha Dalid, where he says, Aleph Dalid.
Just the end.
So you see, that's where he got it from. Again, the Frankel Rambam does a good job telling you also to look there. But then what that means is that it isn't halacha l'moshe b'sinai, because the Rambam in his Akdama, the Pirush Mishnayos, has different categories, Pirush Mekubal and halacha l'moshe b'sinai. This is more like a perush mekubal, based or you know based on or perush of Torah Shabbal Peh, which is interesting. We'll get back to why that may be significant. Anyway, so kasher tzivisicha either just means that, or it could already imply that there is a mitzvah. Right. Secondly, the connection to kadshim, then based on the Sifrei and Ramban's reading of kasher tzivisicha. Does that imply that this is more of a mitzvah? Probably. Also makes it clear because there is a chiyuv to bring kadshim, and that the idea that it's only a matir or only a lava b'maklal asay, you know, certainly doesn't apply to kadshim. So kasher tzivisicha or the zavachta, you know, ma, you know, the kadshim shchita here also whatever the sifrei and all that and the Ramban and the Rambam, all of that certainly implies a mitzvah factor, then you need to just figure out, you know, especially for the Rambam, how come it's not a mitzvah in kadshim if what makes it a mitzvah is the kadshim factor? That's the dialectic that I was hinting at, and I'm going to expand on, being the idea that in the world of kadshim, the fact that this applies to chulin kind of downgrades it, you know, but before that happened, you know, it was... It was brought into Chulin because of the role that it plays in Kadshim. Both of these things are true. For the Rambam, that's a good reason for it to be a mitzvah in Chulin and not in Kadshim, ironically. Okay? Something which Rabbi Ruchem Frischel Perlow just couldn't fathom, frankly. But we'll get to that. Okay. And the third, of course, so it's Kashrut Tzivisicha, the connection to Kachim, and the third element to think about, Meirosh, is the connection to a bracha. We all agree that there's a Birchas Shchita. Gemara speaks about it in Psachim. There may be reference to it in the Sugya in Chulin, right, depending whether you hold like Rashi or the Rambam, in Pirush Mishnayos. We'll discuss that also, hopefully, Thursday. Does the fact that there is a bracha imply that there is a mitzvah? Right? There are mitzvahs that don't have brachos. You don't make a bracha on a get, and not on chalitza, and so on and so forth. And we try to explain why, because maybe they're matirim that are mitzvos, but they're not necessarily kiyumim, because we're unhappy about them, obviously. Are there brachos when there's no mitzvah? Well, it depends if it's a birchas mitzvah or a birchas shevach v'hodah. Right? If it's a birchas mitzvah, the implication is that there's a mitzvah. If there is birchas shevach v'hodah, that's an interesting question. What does that shevach v'hodah, you know, connect with? We'll get to that. What is birchas shchita? Is it birchas shevach v'hodah or birchas mitzvah? There are some rishonim who say specifically that the bracha or the words. Some say it, the nusach bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu implies it's a mitzvah. Others, we'll see exactly the formulations coming up, suggest that the fact that there is a bracha at all, right, implies that there is a mitzvah. And my suggestion that the Rambam's Lefikach bringing in the bracha and his suggestion of the role of the bracha certainly seems to connect the bracha to the mitzvah component. Okay, so having said that, let's look at some of the I think we know where we want to go kind of for the Rambam, but let's talk about the other, or the contrast, other Rishonim just for a minute. So the Raivin in Minyan HaKatzar, Micha, yeah, says what? Disagrees with the Rambam counting Shechita.
Must be a lav on the Maaseh.
And he uses the expression that it's a lav. Personally, actually, it's interesting. It's hard to know. Is the Raivi giving you two suggestions or one? You have the language?
Yeah.
Does En Tamla's there or something like that?
Yeah. He says...
Yeah. So what's the ein lo tam? Again, it's pretty gnomic with a G, meaning it's hard to penetrate what he's saying. Ein lo tam. I'm guessing that what he means is that shechita is a reality. It's a need. It's a matir, but it's not a mitzvah at all. That's A, and therefore it shouldn't be counted. Or B, it's a lava bumichlala say, probably still, and therefore what? It's okay to count it? The rabbit holds you can count the lava bumichlala say? Or more likely, it still shouldn't be counted, but at least, you know, you can see where he's, you know, where his mistake came from. Or we'll put it this way, if the rabbit, you know, understood like the Ramban, that the Rambam counts lava bumichlala say, so he's saying, it's one of those. Either way, if I'm reading the Raivid correctly, then it's important also to note, and I think this is true, although people mix them up, and I think it's a very interesting facet of the sugya, and that is that saying something is a matir and saying something is a lav b'maklala say are two different things. I mean, factually they are. Not every matir needs to be a lav b'maklala say, and certainly not every, you know, matir. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, some matirim are less than a lava b'maklala say, and some matirim are much more than a lava b'maklala say. So, while the overlap, we'll soon see, between lava b'maklala say and matirim is significant, right, they are still, in both directions, two different things. Yeah?
Just to cover on that point. I mean, at the end of the day, every matir does have a lav to it. I mean, you're being matirid from a lav.
Say again? Right.
So you're being matir something from a lav.
Right.
So in theory,
but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a lav above a klal asay, which is an asay, even if it isn't deserved to be counted.
And so the difference would just be, like, conceptually, in this specific case, like, what the exact, like,
character is. Are they saying, well, shechita is not an asay, and it's not a lav above a klal asay? I'm saying you could just say it's a matir. The only way to avoid, it tells you that the way to avoid, it's factual, meaning the way to avoid, just like Nikur and Malicha probably, they're not all, you know, they're just ways to avoid Chelev and Dam. You wouldn't say they're, I don't even know if they're matir, or if they're physical matir, right? No, they're just more, much what? Shechita is not a physical matir, you know, it's a halachic matir, so that's why the overlap is much greater, but that doesn't mean it has to be a lava b'maklala say. It could mean that it's less than that, like Nikur, or it could be that it's more than that, you know, like Kiddushin and Gittin. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, I mean, at that day, wouldn't say, like, it depends on the language of the psukim to determine that.
It might.
The exact character of the, of what they're
being. I mean, it says vizabachta, you know, that implies, you know, a more
positive language.
Right, as opposed, but it could be just like kiyikachi shisha, according to, you know, according to the Rosh, which is, it's a matter of fact. It's telling you the facts. Vizavachta, if you, not that you are obligated to do zvicha, but the word vizavachta, again, based on everything that we've been saying, you know, is like, oh, vizavachta means, oh, when you're interested in eating, then there's a chiyu vizavachta, like what I call the contingent chiyu, right? Or no, vizavachta means it's a kiyu, not a chiyu. Or vizavachta means it's a matir, but, you know, it's a matir, you know, that is significant. Or no, Vizavachta is just telling you how to avoid the Iser. Or Vizavachta is also reinforcement of the Iser on the Asay level. That's what I'm saying. Those are different. So I think the Raivid is saying, number one, again, I can't be sure. It's pretty, I'd say, pretty ambiguous. Number one, Eilotam, meaning it's a matir. It's just a fact. And number two, you know, at most it's a lava b'maklala say, and probably wouldn't count that, or he shouldn't count that. I assume thinks he don't count that, you know, either. What he thinks the Rambam does, I mean, the Rambam holds that way and he counts it. Anyway, the Kesef Mishnah, just to, I'll take a question for one more second, Oh, we're running out of time. What does the custom Mishnah say? Anybody? On the Mina Katsu, yeah?
You want me to read it?
Yeah. Right, he specifically connects it to, it's like a reinforcement, and it mentions both. We'll see what other people do also. Is it Avram and Achai? Is it the Vela? Are they connected? Right? Yeah, keep going. That's how he's interpreting the Raivit. You know, he ignores the Matir part. He's zeroing in on the Lav of Bamakal Asay, and he's telling you it's got to attach itself to a Lav, which Eva Menachai, Nevela, right?
Yeah,
right.
So that's what
is he saying?
He's saying that...
He's not saying the Rambam holds Lav of Bamakal Asay should be counted.
And he's saying that if someone chooses that they want to eat meat, then this is the mechanism.
Or it's a mitzvah or a chiyuv? Yeah, I'm saying based on what he says earlier, he says that he criticizes the Rambam, it's not a chiyuv. Kesem Mishnah is saying it is a chiyuv. So either he's holding it's a contingent chiyuv, that's what I mean. Im Yirtza, by the way, the language of Im Yirtza reminds us of Eirutzin, right? Im Yirtza Ish, Lisa Isha. Oh. Now you're in a chalos reality of a mirtza. Now it's a chiyuv. Like, as opposed to saying, well, that's just another, you know, fact on the ground. It doesn't create a framework, right? So what the Kesem Mishnah is saying, no, you're in a mirtza, you're in a carnivorous, frenzy, you know. Or you just want to be a carnivore. However you want to say it. I don't want to judge anybody. Right? So you now in your carnivorous identity, you're mechiv, you're shkita, you have mechiv shkita, right? Or at minimum, mechiv shkita. My point is, he's not saying it's a labo mekal asay, but you know the Ramban's accusation against the Rambam is correct. He counts those. After all, he counted those other ones, which anyway we have to deal with. Okay, that's the. Give me another couple of minutes just to finish up. That's the right. What about the Bahag? Let's talk next about the Bahag. What's the story with the Bahag? Hoodie?
Does he count Lava Bona policy?
Say again?
Doesn't count the Lava Bona policy.
Well, that's what Ramban suggests. What in the facts here, he doesn't count Kachin. I'm sorry, he counts Shchita of Kachin, and he doesn't count Shchita of Kulin. Exactly the opposite of the Rambam. Correct? So now the question is, well, you know, how do we deal with that, right? So actually, it's fascinating. The Kinat Sofrim in Shoresh Aleph of Sefer Mitzvos, commenting on the Ramban, says, the Bahag really, you know, meant to, he really thinks it's a mitzvah of Shchitas Chulin. You know, just that he already mentioned Shchitas Kadshim. So it's the same thing. Why is it the same thing? Because, anyways, doesn't the Torah say Bezavachta and Kasher Tzivisicha? Doesn't that anyway link, that's the Parsha and Re'eh, doesn't that link Shchitas Kadshim to, Shchitas Chulin to Shchitas Kadshim? So if you say that Shchitas Chulin, I'm sorry, if you say that Shchitas Kadshim is a mitzvah, then by extension you obviously hold that Shchitas Chulin is as well. Okay, the Ramban and the Tashbates, and you know, do not read the Bahag that way. They think it's not true, but it is fascinating, you know, that somebody would have made that suggestion. That suggestion is based on the assumption that Shchitas Chulin comes from the world of Shchitas Kadshim. In the footnotes to the old Urayim, I don't know about the new Urayim. What is it? Tuf Nun and Vav. The Urayim counts. Shchita as a mitzvah, both for Kachim and Chulin, in one mitzvah. He says Shchitos, you know, of Kachim and Chulin, are one mitzvah. So the guy who wrote the footnotes in the old Urayim. He quotes his kinna. He quotes the kinna sofrim of the Sefer Mitzvahs, He says, oh, he read the Bahag like the Urayim. Except the Urayim says it and the Bahag omits it. Like, oh, the Urayim is so obvious, you know, that it's one din. Okay. So that is very, very fascinating. It's just... Anyway, so the Urayim is fascinating. That he now the Urayim integrates them because they're both Matirim, meaning the fact that it applies to Kulin and it's counted, so it's, you know, who Adin Bekachin. Or more likely, again, the Urayim integrates them because he thinks, you know, Kasher, it's like I think that part of the Kiddush Sofer is correct. I mean, it's reading of the Urayim. It's Kasher Tzivisicha, Vizavachta Kemo Kachim, you know, like the Bach's Havamina that we talked about the other day, meaning Shkita Skulin is a mitzvah because of the connection to Kachin. And we'll see this in the Rosh, the famous Rosh in Ksuvas. The third suggestion of the Rosh is that as well. Okay, on the Bracha part, we'll get to that. Just to, you know, this part of it for just a second. So in Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlo's discussion, Sefer Mitzvah of Sajigon, he says... one thing I will not countenance in this topic is don't tell me that anybody counts Shkitas Chulin and Shkitas Kachim separately. There's two different mitzvahs in the Minyan Torah. I don't think that's so terrible, frankly. Like, impossible? Like, the Urayim does count them one, and, you know, and we have, again, the Bahag really counting Kachim, and we have the Rambam only counting, you know, outside of Kom Pesach, Chulin. That's all true. So I don't know if we have anybody who counts them separately, but it would be so terrible. Shechitas Kachim, you know, would be the Kiyum and the Chiyuv and the, you know, the Avoda, and maybe Shechitas Chulin, you know, the Matir. Right? Not so terrible. But then he goes on and he says that, you know, he says, you know, if you're going to do that, like, then you might as well... Anybody see it? I told you to look at it, right? Josh? If you're going to do that, then you might as well count Shechitas Ola and Shechitas Shlamim and Shechitas, Chatas as separate mitzvahs too? Okay. Well, again, I think the Rambam did count Pesach separately, because it's a different role. But I don't think that that's a very strong question. Meaning the idea that Shechita plays a similar role outside of Korban Pesach, you know, in the typical Korbanos, range of Korbanos, is more compelling than saying that Shechita is identical in Chulin and Kachim. Moreover, the Prima Gadim, in the piece that you read, anybody get to see that piece yet? What?
The one in the
Psicha, yeah, Shorish Beit. The end of the piece, the main part is the beginning, of course. Can you see the end? Anybody get to see the end? The exciting end? The dynamo?
That's about oath. So
yeah, the oath part.
Is it maybe isn't that exciting? An assay for oath, but it is an assay for Behemoth, but not an assay for oath.
He considers that, right? Isn't that exciting? I thought it was. Meaning, Vizavachta is said, Bekarcha, Vitzoncha. Right, it's okay, Behema, and Chaya's, you know, compared to Behema. So the Prima Gadim says it's clear, you know, if you hold that there's a mitzvah say, that the mitzvah say apply to, you know, Bokar, Betzon, Behema, Chaya. He says, but Shechitas Ov, you know, doesn't say Vizavachta in quite the same way. Right? So he says, is it possible that even though you need Shechita La'ov, that's a discussion of Amar, we Paskin certainly need Shechita La'ov. Is it possible that Shechita La'of is a matir? He calls it tikkun, lahalav, which he means by a matir, and that the other ones are mitzvah? Right? In the end he says, nah, can't be. Can it be? No, because he thinks it'll be a huge nafkamina in terms of safek, you know, behema b'chayeha. If behema b'chayeha, you know, its chazaka is relevant to like Sveikos, he said it could be this huge nafkamina maybe, you know, in terms of Safek, you know, Nevela, or whatever, of Oaf versus Behema and Chaya. I'm just pointing out, that two things actually. Number one, that you know, Ruchim Fisher Perlo didn't even want to consider, you know, a difference between chulin and kadshim, which I think is really obvious. That he compared it to different karbanos, which I think is really interesting. Again, especially since I think the Rambam does distinguish at least Korban Pesach, but that's what I call that's a shmos karban. That's its uniqueness. It's its uniqueness, which I think makes it that. That's fine. But then, you know, the Prima Gadim is at least thinking about, and certainly based on the evidence in the Psukim and so on, like the possibility that, you know, Shechitas Of is a matir and speak to the other ones or not. I'll just add, you know, to the mix just a little bit. Number one, just on the Prima Gadim side, you know, fine. You know, with regard to Ben Noach, according to the Rambam, there may be a distinction in terms of Abram and Achai. Right? And that might be connected to the continuity, you know, question of Yisroel Achilas Basar. Moreover, in Shechitas Kodshim of Oaf, what is that exactly? Asher? Malika. So I'm just wondering aloud. I haven't seen this. Speculating. You know, is there some reason... You know, if there's only Malika, the Kadshim, might that not be also an additional reason to think that maybe even Shechitas Chulin, you know, is different? Because, hey, Shechitas, if you think that what makes this a mitzvah, that it's borrowed from the world of Kadshim, so what are you going to say? You know, what about Shechitas Ov? I'm just raising this question. With? Yeah. Okay, very good. Interesting. What about Shchut Echutz? We have Kadshim people here. According to Micha's script writing, you know, this might be another question for us, yeah, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, what about Shchut Echutz? Let's say you're shochet an oath. That you gotta get later.
Shua.
Shua? Oh, Shua. Yeah. Get Shua back here. So that's an interesting question, but it's a double question. That's an interesting question. How do you violate Shchut Echutz with an oath? Through Malika or through Shechita? Now, there's a double question there. Like how much dumya, you know, the you know Pesach or Moed, do you need in the chutz, and how much is Malika, you know, different than Shechita? Okay. Anyway, these are relevant. That could be discussions around them, right? But the point I'm trying to make is, again, you know, at least the Prima Gadim's question is a really interesting question. He doesn't look at it that way. He's just interested in the fact that the word of his avachta. You know, it doesn't necessarily apply to oath. So, you know, is it all a package deal that there's shechita, or can there be differences? But I'm raising this, especially if the kadshim element is part of it, or the ben Noach, you know, the initial Avraham and Achai, you know, that part of it, I think, is also part of the question. Anyways, the idea that there can be differences, notwithstanding Sefer Sadigon, at least is something to think about. Yeah.
What do we do with the seemingly the sharp difference between the Ramban's very ambitious explanation of Shechita and the Mitzvah and the Torah Shmitzav and Perish as opposed to what he's doing here in Asaras?
The Ramban?
Yeah.
I didn't get the Ramban yet. I think the Ramban, if you look, read very, very carefully, I think what he says in Shorish Aleph is for the Bahak. The Ramban himself doesn't omit,
doesn't even, like, entertain, like, the... You would think, like, the Kimas Ogrim is quoting the Ramban's own idea.
Yeah.
His,
no, I think there's a point to it. Again, we're not for the Ramban, yeah, but I'm impressed by the fact, number one, that the Ramban didn't mention Shechita in Shorish Vav, but hold me to this, I'll speak about it next time when we finish this. And that he also didn't argue with the Rambam's inclusion of it in Kufnei Vav, right, which the Raiva did. And I think that's because of what he says in his Perish Allah Torah. That's why in the Marma Kovitz I told you, you know, and look what he said, Allah Torah. That's what I meant. Exactly that. Okay, I see we're going to have to stop. But the simple pshat of the Bahag, you know, is what it is. And it's particularly reflected by the Ramban and the Tashbe. So I want to pick up the Ramban and the Tashbe. It's on the Bahag. I want to speak a little more about the Ramban and Shorish Vav and Perish Olah Torah. Again, the other thing. Then I want to speak a little more about the Rambam. I want to speak about Tosis and Shavuos. You know, Prima Gadim. I get all the rest of the Marmakoma, the Rosh. Let's finish up the Minyan Mitzvos one first, and then from there, because it's the Bracha question. We'll try to... Oh, you asked about the... I looked, Rosh, and I didn't get a chance to say it. I did find the piece in Dinim where he said...
You are going to write down what you're going to do.